on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On the whole wide earth as it is in heaven. Over the next 8 weeks, 10th Church is going to journey through the prayer which Jesus of Nazareth taught his followers to pray, the so-called Lord's Prayer. Pastor Ken will be the principal guide on the journey, but he's asked me to help launch us on our way on this Lord's Day when we gather around the Lord's table, the place where, more than any other place I know, we experience on earth as it is in heaven. Why 8 weeks in the Lord's Prayer? Why spend that much time in the Lord's Prayer? Answer, because praying the Lord's Prayer turns out to be the most effective way to participate in the great revolution. Praying the Lord's Prayer is the most effective way for us, mere human beings, and sinful human beings at that, to participate in the great revolution that began when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You realize that, do you not? That Jesus' birth inaugurated a great revolution? That Jesus was born in the world to work a great revolution? I know it is a provocative way to put it. Some might say a dangerous way to put it, especially in this present historical context when all over the world we're witnessing this massive changing of the guard. But that is what is happening in the life and ministry of Jesus, a changing of the guard. He is bringing about a massive revolution. It is what he declared in his first public proclamation. Jesus comes on the scene, his arrival having been announced by John the Baptist, with the stunning news: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this good news. Those are the first words, public words, out of the mouth of the Savior of the world. The time is fulfilled. The glorious, redeeming reign of God has come near. Turn around and put your weight on this good news. In those few lines, Jesus was declaring that God's radical intervention in the life of the world, which was thought to only take place at the end of history, was taking place now in the middle of history. The long-awaited revolution is now underway, is one way to paraphrase Jesus' words. The revolution has begun is another way, on earth as it is in heaven. The writers of the Gospels then tell us that straight away, Jesus began to call people to follow him, people from all walks of life, from every social strata, fishermen, tax collectors, homemakers and farmers, lawyers and doctors and scholars and prostitutes, calling them all to get on board the train. Come follow me. Come take my yoke upon you. Come abide in me. Come eat and drink the life of the kingdom. What a privilege! To be called by Jesus Christ to follow him in this world is a call to participate in his revolution. You realize that, do you not? To be called into relationship with Jesus Christ is to be called to live a revolutionary life. It's the life he describes in his most famous sermon, his Sermon on the Mount, recorded by Matthew the tax collector in chapters 5 to 7 of his gospel. The sermon, which if more of the world would read and take seriously, would result in a very different world. A very different world. Throughout the last centuries, whenever groups of human beings take his sermon seriously, there is a tremendous transformation that takes place. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, they shall inherit the earth. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. However it is that you want people to treat you, so treat them. This is the law and the prophets. Oh, what a marvelous articulation of a new way of being human. And if we would just take Jesus seriously and live his way, it is because we have not taken Jesus seriously that the world is in the condition it is right now. The illustrations of the fact are all around us. But take Jesus' Sermon on the Mount seriously and things begin to change. A revolution takes place. Bigger, more life-giving revolution than ever dreamt of before or since. Join Jesus in the revolution and we find ourselves living in a very different world. And at the heart of his sermon is the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven. Jesus places it right in the middle of the sermon, in chapter 6 of Matthew 5 through 7. In fact, he places it right in the middle of chapter 6. He places it at the center of his description of this new way of living he is bringing about in the world. And I think he does so to say, praying this prayer is the most effective way to actually participate with me in the revolution. And at the heart of the prayer is this little phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. To pray the Lord's Prayer is to participate in an invasion, the invasion of earth by heaven, which is why I submit to you that praying the Lord's Prayer right now is the most revolutionary thing you and I can do at this troubled time in history. Will you now then open your Bibles to chapter six, of Matthew's Gospel? And I want to read in context, so we're going to read from verse 5 through verse 15. Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Listen, because the King of Kings is speaking to us. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by others. I tell you the truth, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their transgression, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. When you pray, says Jesus, pray in this way. Matthew 6, 9, in this way. Another version renders that as, this then is how you should pray. But we should observe that there is no should in the text. Literally, it is thusly. When you pray thusly, I take that to mean that Jesus is not saying that we're supposed to recite these same words in the same order all the time. Rather, in saying thusly, I think he's saying to us, this is a way to pray that pleases my Father and your Father. This is a way to pray that delights my Father and your Father. Or to put it more simply, Jesus is saying, this is a way to pray without having to ever wonder, wow, I wonder if God is okay with what I'm saying. In this introductory sermon, in the series on the Lord's Prayer, I'm simply going to make a number of observations about the prayer as a whole. Number means six. The teacher of the prayer, the embrace of the prayer, the flow of the prayer, the center of the prayer, the verbs of the prayer, and the one to whom we pray. Okay, that's all I'm going to do. Make six observations. Here we go, joining the revolution. Observation one, the teacher of the prayer. This is a critical observation. The teacher of this prayer is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son. Son of Mary, Son of God, Son of God, Son of Mary. That is, fully human, fully God. The teacher of this prayer is fully human, fully God. He knows both sides of this chasm, if you will, this distance. He knows the human side and he knows the God side. As Son of Mary, he is like Mary, fully human, which means he knows what life on this earth is all about. He knows what it means to be human in a broken world. And more particularly, he knows what it means to pray in a broken world. The writer of the book of Hebrews, a document later in the New Testament, puts it so well. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. As Son of Mary, as one of us, he knows what we need in order to live fully human, fully alive. He says before giving us the prayer, Father knows what you need before you ask him, but he too knows what we need because he also needed it. And as Son of God, like God, fully God, he knows the mind and heart of God. He lives in the Father's heart. He is sent from the Father's heart. He knows what pleases the Father. He knows the passions of God. Which means then, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is giving us his revelation of the Father. It is as though he is saying, listen, I know the Father, and I know what is on your Father's heart and mind. The hallowing of his name, the coming of his kingdom, the doing of his will, providing for his children's needs, forgiving his children's sins and freeing them to forgive their sisters and brothers' sins, delivering his children from all the seductive schemes of evil. As Son of Mary, Son of God, Jesus knows firsthand our true needs and the Father's desires. And in his prayer, he brings those needs and those desires together. The teacher of the prayer is the Son. Okay. Observation two, the embrace of the prayer. In the book I wrote on this prayer, I used the word scope. I now prefer the term embrace. It's a more dynamic way of putting it, suggesting that in this prayer, Jesus has gathered up all of our needs and all of our concerns into his arms and is lifting them up to the Father. I think you can see that the prayer embraces everything imaginable. Name any need you have, and I can show you how it's included in this prayer. Name any concern you are facing, and I can show you how it's included in this prayer. For example, Jesus embraces all of time. The past. What's our greatest need about the past? Forgive us our debts. The present. Greatest need. Give us this day our daily bread. The future, our greatest need. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in his prayer, Jesus embraces the full, all the dimensions of our humanity. The physical, give us this day our daily bread. The relational, social, forgive as we're forgiven. Emotional, psychological, deliver us from evil's deception, the twisting of our true identity. And political, your kingdom come. Yes, Father, your kingdom come. Please, your kingdom of true justice and true freedom and authentic community and wholeness. So name any need or concern we have. Name any fear or desire, and we find it embraced by Jesus' prayer. The whole of life is taken up into the embrace of God. Observation 3, the flow of the prayer. You might have noticed there are 6 petitions. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. And it seems as though these 6 petitions are broken into 2 halves. The first half, name, kingdom, will. The second half, bread, forgiveness, guidance, deliverance. Now, did you happen to notice that the 2 halves employ different pronouns? First half, yours, yours, yours. Second half, us, our, us, we, us, us. The point of the flow, a prioritizing of our needs. Your, then us, us, us. Not us, 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 and then your. Yes, we need bread, right? Right? Yep. And yes, we need forgiveness and we need to forgive, right? And we need guidance and deliverance, right? Jesus knows we need all that, and so he frees us to pray for it. But Jesus is telling us in this prayer we have greater needs. We do? Yes, we do. More than bread, forgiveness, guidance, deliverance, we need name, kingdom, will. We need the Father's name to be hallowed in us and in the world. We need the Father's kingdom to come in all of its fullness. We need the Father's good pleasure to be done in us and in the world. Yes, we will experience full human flourishing when we have our daily bread. When our sins are forgiven and we forgive others their sins, and when we are guided into the path and protected from the evil one. But Jesus is telling us that we will finally experience full human flourishing when our Father's name is treated with reverence and dignity in us and in the world, when our Father's kingdom comes in all of its fullness, and when our Father's goodwill, his good pleasure, is accomplished in our wills and in the wills of the world. Thus the flow of the prayer, your before us. Because more critical than the us requests are the your requests. If we focus only on the us requests, we're not going to understand them fully. The us requests are understood in the context of the your request. In fact, it turns out that all those us requests are actually taken care of in the your requests, which we'll discover as the weeks go on. Observation 4. We're moving along pretty well here, aren't we? We're doing okay? Okay. Observation 4, the center of the prayer. Matthew 6:10, on earth as it is in heaven. Literally, as in heaven, so also on earth. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that that little phrase goes with all 6 petitions, with the 3 before the center and the 3 that follow the center. So, this is how the prayer goes. Your name be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil on earth as it is in heaven. Cool, no? I think that little phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, captures the passion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's passion is to bring the life of heaven to earth, which is why I said at the beginning of this message that to pray the Lord's Prayer is to participate in an invasion, the invasion of the earth by heaven. I have this picture of all of us and all the members of all the other churches in the city going about our daily activities and quietly praying on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Walking into the law office, walking into the schoolroom, walking into the hospital room, on the bus, in City Hall, quietly praying, on earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine how different it would be? I wonder if this phrase at the center of the prayer might not be a signal of another way Jesus has structured the prayer. I wonder if Jesus has structured the prayer as a parallelism and more technically as a chiasm. If this is the case, then, name and temptation go together, kingdom and forgive go together, and will and bread go together. If this is the case, Jesus is saying, then, temptation is all about the name. The evil one seeks to distort the name of God, to distort the nature of character of God. Jesus is saying, then, that the kingdom is all about relationships. Relationships being restored by his grace. And then Jesus is saying that the will of God is all about the bread, God making it possible for human beings to live sustained and productive lives. And all of it turning on earth as it is in heaven. Observation 5, the verbs of the prayer. Now, this is where things get very, very exciting. The verbs, especially the verbs in the first half. Be hallowed, come, be done. Bold verbs, very, very bold. Now, in the original, the verbs come first in the sentence for emphasis. So it's not your name be hallowed, but be hallowed your name. It's not your kingdom come, but come your kingdom. It's not your will be done, but be done your will. Verbs come first. Now, there are two things we need to know about these bold verbs. The first is that each of them is in the imperative mood. You didn't know you were coming to a language study today, but they're all in the imperative mood. Now, remember what the imperative mood is all about. You remember from 7th and 8th grade English? What is the imperative mood about? Command, right? Ordering, especially in the Greek language, the language of Matthew 6. The imperative is the mood of command. Do this, do that, be this, be that, come, go, stop, command, imperative. Now, in the Greek language, the imperative is never used while addressing a superior. Makes sense, right? You never use the imperative while addressing a superior. I mean, which of us is going to go into the office of the mayor tomorrow and say, and start using imperatives? Fix this, fix that, build this, build that, cancel that tax, and while you're at it, cancel that other tax too. Never is the imperative used when addressing a superior. Well, well, well. Surprise, surprise, surprise. In the Lord's Prayer, we are addressing a superior, are we not? Our Father who art in heaven, superior of superiors, right? And Jesus tells us to use the imperative. Be hallowed. Come. Be done. All in the imperative. Oh, my. We're not just asking, we are commanding. Yikes. Be, come, be. Be hallowed, come, be done. Be hallowed your name, come your kingdom, be done your will. Do it, do it, do it. Whoa. How do you feel about that? Remember who the teacher is. Remember who taught us to say this. Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God. He knows the Father. He knows what pleases the Father. And Jesus is telling us that the Father wants his children to come in his presence and use imperatives. The Father wants his children to pray boldly. Do it, Father. And I quickly add, please. The second thing we need to know about these bold prayers, they're in the passive voice. Imperative mood, passive voice. Why in the passive? I think partly to introduce a note of reverence. It kind of softens the sense that we're ordering God around. But mostly because only God can do it. Only God can hallow God's name. Only God can bring God's kingdom. Only God can do God's will. So the prayer is not what we tend to make it. The prayer is not what I thought it was most of my life. The prayer is not, let us hallow your name. Let us bring your kingdom. Let us do your will. We're not the ones to do it. We are not the subject of the verbs. The Father is the subject of all these verbs because only the Father can do it. So the prayer is, Father, do it. We cannot. So you do it. We cannot hallow your name. So you hallow your name on earth as it is in heaven. We cannot bring your kingdom into being. So you do it. You bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We can't do your will. So you do it on earth as it is in heaven. The Father is the subject of the verbs, not we. Father, right now, your name is being hallowed in heaven. Hallow it on the earth. Father, right now, your kingdom has come in heaven. Bring it on earth. Father, right now, your will is being done. Do it on earth. How are you feeling now? I'll tell you how I feel. I feel as though a ton of bricks just got off my soul. Father, you do it because I can't. You do it because you're the only one who can. Do it. Bold verbs, very bold. And then observation 6. The one to whom we pray, our Father, says Jesus, and not just any Father. It's the Father Jesus knows and loves. It's the Father Jesus knows and trusts. Our Father in heaven. In heaven. That little phrase means very close at hand. So very close at hand. For most people, heaven refers to a place far away, way up there. But not for Jesus. For Jesus, heaven is simply another dimension of the created order, surrounding the visible order, embracing the tangible order, intersecting and infusing and sustaining all the dimensions of reality that we can see and touch and feel and smell. In heaven, as real and as close as the air we breathe. Turns out, heaven is the atmosphere in which we live and move and have our very being. Which means when that day comes, when we go to heaven, we don't take a long trip. We simply slip through to the other side that is very close at hand. So close. So close. Closer than our breathing and heaven breathing life into our earthly existence. In heaven, it also means on the throne. For Jesus, heaven is God's throne, earth is God's footstool, as he says earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. The psalmist said, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens, In Revelation 4, as you saw in the Revelation series, I saw a door open in heaven and a throne with someone sitting on it. The Father, Jesus' Father sitting on the throne of the universe. If this is not so, then prayer is potentially futile. But if it is so, and it is, then it means the one to whom we are praying has the ability to do what we're asking him to do. Father. Not just Almighty. Not just Rock of Ages. Not just Source of All Being. But Father. The Father Jesus knows and loves and trusts. The Father he wants us to know and love and trust. I think I hear Jesus saying to me often, Daryl, you know what your problem is? Do you know why you get so anxious? It's because you do not know my Father. If you knew my Father, you wouldn't be this anxious. And so I'm going to teach you my Father. He wants to be your Father too. The gospel is in that first line of the Lord's Prayer, is it not? Jesus' Father has become our Father. Jesus the Son comes from heaven to earth to bring us into his relationship with his Father so that we can know and love and trust the Father the way he does. And he makes it all possible by sending the Holy Spirit, whom the Apostle Paul calls the Spirit of Adoption, who enables us to speak to Jesus' Father the same way he does. Abba, Father. So we bring observation 1 and observation 6 together. The teacher of the prayer wants us to know the one to whom we pray. He really wants us to know how good and generous and gracious the Father is. And the Father wants us to know his name. The Father wants us to be alive in his kingdom. The Father wants us to thrive in his will. The Father wants us to have all the bread we need in order to know his name and live in his kingdom and thrive in his will. The Father wants us to know the joy and freedom of forgiveness. And the Father wants to deliver us from all the lies the liar has put in our hearts so that we might know the wonder of being children of God. The Father so wants all that for us and for the world that he sent his Son from heaven to earth to make it all happen on earth as it is in heaven. He who has lived in intimacy with God the Father from all eternity has come from heaven to earth to effect the greatest of all revolutions. And the most effective way we participate with him is by praying his prayer, which I invite you to join me in doing right now. Let us pray the words as they emerge one at a time on the screen in front of us. Our Father in heaven, close at hand, on the throne, hallow your name in me, on earth as it is in heaven. Bring your kingdom in me, on earth as it is in heaven. Do your will in me on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours, Father, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. Forever. Amen. On earth, as it is in heaven.